Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Winning doesn't just happen.
It takes a plan.
A strategy. All based on expert analysis and trusted information.
That's what you get.
Right here.
The Winning Edge.
We're not just doing this because we're nice guys.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. Network.
Welcome in, everybody, to The Early Line. Live right here on Sports Grid on this Tuesday morning. I am Kevin Walsh, joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, how are you?
Doing good here on a Tuesday morning, the Monday night slate in our rearview mirror, week 11 already in the NFL. Switching over a little bit to some action tonight, some NBA action, and of course, a nice little preview of the card coming up for this week. It's nice, it's Tuesday, let's get after it.
There's a lot to get to here on a Tuesday, no doubt about it. We'll open it up with our 7-7 top headlines here. And Donnie said, putting Monday Night Football in the rearview mirror. I'm sure that is what Sean McVay will try to be advised his guys to do as well. They lose to the San Francisco 49ers 31-10. The offense horrible once again for the Rams as they open this game up with back-to-back interceptions. The Niners bullied him, Donnie. 44 carries for 156 yards on the ground.
Yeah, pretty impressive play calling here by Kyle Shanahan saying, no, we're just going to be more physical than you, and we're just going to dominate you up and down the field. Doesn't matter how long these drives take, because as long as we're cashing in touchdowns, that is going to be the goal. 31-10 final here for the San Francisco 49ers. A pummeling all the way through to the final quarter. Now, as Kevin and myself, we're betting some of the odds boost and props on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Come on, Matthew. One touchdown drive in the fourth quarter to throw a touchdown pass would have been so, so nice. And yet you tortured us by getting inside the 10-yard line twice and were unable to come up with any TDs and got sacked on a third down and kicked a field goal to, I don't know, maybe they had a team total of 9.5 as an alt line in the game. They made a 10, 21-point drubbing here. 49ers deserve that victory.
Donnie, not mad at Stafford, just disappointed. Come on, yeah. Matthew. Also disappointing, the Odell Beckham Jr. debut. Now, what were you expecting? It's in the eye of the beholder, but we all know that OBJ debuting for the Rams was a massive story. All in all, Donnie, 2 catches on 3 targets for 18 yards, played about 5-10% of the snaps roughly here in this football game.
Yeah, only had 3 targets in that one. You saw the one also early where it was a deep shot down the field and it was just into double coverage. Matthew Stafford was just off from the very first play. And also keep in mind, not only Matthew Stafford off, how many drops did they have on third down just to stymie momentum? It was a 49ers night last night, and we talked about it going into the football game as well. Hey, look, if you're the Niners, this was your Super Bowl game. You lose, you're probably done for the season. They won and won convincingly. And now head on the road to Jacksonville next week. So maybe the Niners getting back in the playoff race in the NFC.
A scrappy Jags team, though, Donnie, that put forward some covers here in recent weeks. Oh, we'll talk about that early line, no doubt. Bringing some NBA headlines into the mix here. Anthony Davis last night ejected against the Chicago Bulls as the Lakers dropped that game 121-103. AD being ejected probably covers up for the fact that this team lost quite handedly, and they were losing quite handedly, even Donnie, when he was ejected from this game.
And we always talk about the Lakers and the Big Three, but how about the Chicago Bulls and their Big Three last night, Kevin? DeMar DeRozan, 38 points. Lonzo Ball, 27 points. Zach LaVine, 26 points. A 121-103 victory here. 10-4, Kevin, on the season for the Chicago Bulls.
DeMar DeRozan, maybe in an MVP race, if you'd want. I mean, it's just been unbelievable to watch this guy. Also, we continue to get the answer to the question, can they survive not having LeBron? Obviously not. Radio audience in full effect. Let's bring you all in here. Appreciate everyone listening to the early line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on a Tuesday morning. Continuing to move through these top headlines here, Donnie. And the Phoenix Suns open their season in a bit of a mediocre way. Well, they've now won 9 consecutive games on the road last night in Minnesota. Take that one down 99-96. No cover, but still their 9th straight victory.
Yeah, that's a nice one there. 10-3 overall, 5-1 on the road. You should be able to put teams away like the Minnesota Timberwolves. But you know what's even nicer, Kevin? When you get into this game, you get DeAndre Ayton back. 22 points in this game, 12 boards. But how about this? A rarity in the NBA. Shooting 22% from the three-point line, doesn't matter. Still coming away with a victory. Good win by the Suns on the road last night, even when they didn't bring their A game.
I'll tell you what, I think even another good win last night is what the Wizards put forward against the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, I know the Pelicans are bad, but Brandon Ingram came back. That team shot it better than 50% from beyond the arc, and the Wizards still got the job done 105-100. And they remain, incredibly, Donnie, atop the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, how about that? 10-3 to start the season, 6-1 at home for the Washington Wizards. And this was one of those teams where we used to get a joke out of it. You know, it just doesn't work out with superstars. Bradley Beal's on the move next. Not so fast in here. I can't even believe it. Washington, we'll see now. It's a long season, as we like to say in the NBA. But starting out 10-3 and 6-1 at home, that's sensational stuff. Yeah, the top-seeded Wizards. Figure that one out.
The Eastern Conference, a lot of teams still in the mix. Last night in college basketball, we saw a top 10 team go down. The Fighting Illini were almost 10-point favorites at Marquette, held scoreless over the final 3 minutes of the basketball game, Donnie, and they dropped that one 67-66.
Yeah, 30 seconds left to go in the game. You're bringing the ball up court, just expecting to run some clock and get fouled and try to make some free throws, but not paying attention to a trap coming from the opposite direction. Big time win on their home court for Marquette. Exciting time as well. Good stuff.
Also, last headline here is entirely to get Donnie's reaction. Major League Baseball, Donnie, gave out the Rookie of the Year awards. Randy Arozarena in the AL, Jonathan India in the NL. Does anybody actually care?
Yeah, and there's something called at the end of the show, Listen Up. Yeah, might want to tune into that one about Major League Baseball today, fellas.
I put that in there because I knew it would get its way into Listen Up. Job done. We talk Monday Night Football.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you right here on this Tuesday morning, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. Let's talk a little Monday Night Football here, and let's talk about the winning sign to start it off here, Donnie, because the San Francisco 49ers, as over a field goal underdog, win this game outright 31-10. Game goes well under the total, as the Rams now are putting forward these games where, if I were to tell you the opponent's scoreline, you'd say, over was a cruiser. Not with the way the Rams are playing these past 2 weeks here. But the big thing, I think, for this team right now, Donnie, is, and this team being the San Francisco 49ers, is just to put a win on the board. We talked about this going into the weekend. The back end of the NFC, there was going to be, you know, one or two upsets. I apparently undersold it, right? The Niners, the Eagles, the Panthers, the Vikings, all these teams now getting into the mix here. The Niners with their first home victory of the season, moved to 4-5, which for the back end of the NFC puts them squarely in the mix.
Yeah, it does. It was actually their first home win in just about over a year, a little bit more than a year, which is incredible. Usually home field advantage with a decent football team in the 49ers would pay dividends, but hasn't until last night. Then again, I guess you just have to go out and play the Rams, which the 49ers have had their number for quite some time. But taking a look overall at this game itself, what did we like and what didn't we like about the San Francisco 49ers? I thought their defense played really well last night. They were hitting, you know, getting pressure on Matthew Stafford, forcing the issue, getting early turnovers. And it looked like Matthew Stafford was rattled after the first quarter, particularly, you know, 41 pass attempts from Matthew Stafford, 26 of 41. Say, okay, I'd take that. It's usually around 300 yards. It wasn't. Two interceptions in that game and a passer rating for 67.5. I love the fact that Kyle Shanahan said to himself last night, we're going to be more physical than the Rams. We're going to take it to the Rams on the ground, and we're going to use Jimmy Garoppolo in space, meaning drop back, three-step drop. Nobody's going to be around him, so he has plenty of room to operate. But having said that, Kevin, I look at this 31-10 score, and it was thoroughly impressive for the 49ers. But you know what I still came away from this game saying to myself with the 49ers? boy, if they just had a quarterback. And it's so odd to say. He went 15 of 19 for two touchdowns yesterday in a 141 passing attempt. And here's Donnie Wrightside on a Tuesday morning saying, I need more out of my quarterback. But if you watch the game, you know, did he complete some short slant passes under pressure that ended up, you know, Deebo Samuel running in for touchdowns and made a nice pass to George Kittle on that, I believe it was the first drive, which took about 11 minutes in the first quarter, threw a touchdown to Kittle. He can make the competent throws. But at no time, we were waiting all night long. And again, this is coming from a team that won by 21 points. Like, how about just step back and launch one deeper? How about a deep in for 25 yards or something spectacular? Now, last night, they didn't need it. But I always like to equate games, Kevin, moving forward of what to anticipate. I love the 49ers' victory and game plan last night. But moving forward here, once again, I don't think I can trust Jimmy Garoppolo here. And he kind of said that again. He had a passer rating of 141 last night.
After it was really interesting because I think they are playing in some ways in spite of Garoppolo, around Garoppolo, but also what they did in this game here was execute a game plan, right? To what you said, Donnie. They were going to play smash mouth football, and Garoppolo was going to be very measured in his approach here. Hit Kittle when he's open, let Deebo make plays, and they did both of those things to perfection overall. I hear you. I think the Trey Lance stuff ultimately, for me, Donnie, it feels like that ship has sailed. Bringing in Trey Lance. I heard on the broadcast, I go, Trey Lance will have to wait another week. He's going to have to wait another season here. Unless Garoppolo gets injured. Basically, if Garoppolo is bad enough to get Trey Lance into the game, their season is probably done. That's kind of where I think the Niners are at right now. But I have to say, Donnie, as much as this offensive performance was good, we've seen this group have some decent offensive performances. The defense needed a game like they had here. Overall, and they held the Rams to 10 points, picked off Matthew Stafford twice. A tremendous play at the end of the first half to sniff out a fake field goal attempt that very well could have made that a one possession game and put some momentum on the LA Rams side of it all. And their defense, Donnie, with a tremendous effort to keep the Rams in check, though I'm not sure that says more about a Niners defensive group here or where the Rams are over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, the Rams look like they're a little bit lost here. And you want to say, okay, Robert Woods goes down on Friday at practice. He's a pretty good number two wide receiver, we can all agree. But that shouldn't mean that your offense should absolutely fall apart and not have some wide open targets here, because we did have a lot of passing from Matthew Stafford. He did take some shots, but it just felt like it was Cooper Kupp, 11 catches for 122, and you were hoping for something from everybody else. Odell Beckham, you know, made a cameo last night. You saw him right on the first drive, got him the football. Like, okay, maybe they have some packages involved. He disappeared with the rest of the ballgame, particularly after that one deep shot by Matthew Stafford. It's clear they were both on different pages there, but I don't know what type of, you know, process you were thinking when it's double coverage. I'm just going to throw it up and say Odell's just going to come down with that catch here. I didn't understand that quite a bit. Tyler Higbee, 3 catches for 20 yards, but let's take a look at the Rams moving forward. Because I don't want to say there's a blueprint out there. San Francisco was very good last night. Their defense, you know, when it gets healthier, which it did last night, is very effective. But I wasn't happy with the running game for the Los Angeles Rams, which has always seemed to be a question mark once they lost Akers coming into the season. He was supposed to be that big play guy, almost like a Dalvin Cook light, right? You said he could take it the distance. He can handle it out of the backfield, catching passes and do whatever he needs to do. But now I look, where's the explosive plays coming from? Is it so simple here that maybe if you could just get somebody to bracket coverage Cooper Kupp and say, all right, well, Odell Beckham, we'll see what he brings to the table. You bring in some side guys, and I caught, you know, so-and-so last night as we joked about coming into the game. You saw what that takes place here. When you see a guy's name saying, I never heard of that guy. Yeah, you know what he played last night, that performance? We never heard of him either. Might not hear from him again once Odell Beckham takes that starting role. It's a little bit of a question mark, but you have to have some trust, right, in the Rams. Sean McVay is a very good play caller. They're going to work this out. But the one thing I do want to take away from this game is Matthew Stafford didn't look all that good last night, and it almost seemed like he reverted back a little bit to those Detroit ways. Not to say he's not talented, can't pick it up, and he's probably still going to have a great season. The Rams are going to get into the playoffs, but he showed flashes of if you can get to him, he does get rattled, and that's a veteran quarterback that typically doesn't happen.
To me, Donnie, for Stafford, they open the game up. He takes an outrageous deep shot to no one, and he's intercepted in it. Very confusing. You could perhaps chalk it up because technically Odell was the intended wide receiver on a lack of chemistry between the two. The interception. Evansful.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. It's really interesting when you do try to break it down, because Matthew Stafford in itself, you know, 26 of 41 for 243, it's not good enough to win it. And it's certainly not good enough to win when you see the 49ers out here and what they were doing on offense, continually running the football and running it at will. You were talking about first down plays that you usually hand off and you're hoping that you can get 3 to 4 to 5 yards at that point. And all of a sudden you're getting 7, 8, and 9 yards. It made the job so much easier for Jimmy Garoppolo here to complete 15 of 19 passes. If you come into the game and say, hey, Jimmy's going to throw 19 times in this game, you probably said either A, he got hurt, or B, he got benched, which then you're trying to look at the Rams and say, what happened to your offensive performance? Because the one thing we were expecting to lean on also here on Monday Night Football was the Los Angeles Rams defense. We were going to see Von Miller for the first time matched up with Aaron Donald. They should be able to crush the pocket and Jimmy Garoppolo won't get out of the way. Even talking about before the game coming in that, yes, the Rams were favored between 3 to 3.5 points here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and overall going back and forth and saying, what's going to make the most sense in this game? What's the pathway to victory for the 49ers? Well, last night it was sensational. Running the football, keeping everything physical, and dominating the Rams. We didn't think that that Rams defense would give up, but certainly it looks like the Rams defense absolutely did, Kevin.
I think for the LA Rams, again, is just that game tilted on an awful interception by Stafford in the same way things did against the Titans. Well, I mean, but that... awful in terms of what it did for the team. Again, that pick wasn't his fault. The one against the Titans where he decided to spin around and just throw it up for grabs obviously was damaging here. The drop passes that the Rams receivers were putting forward were horrid here overall. The thing for the Rams, as obviously difficult as this is when you talk about the race towards the top, they have a monster opportunity awaiting their schedule when they return from the bye. We will talk about that and also this upcoming Niners schedule and how it can impact their chances to make a legitimate push here for a position in the NFC postseason. NFC playoff picture update after this break.
Sports Professor Rick Caro inside the $1.3 trillion business of sports with your daily numbers game. Kudos to the NBA. ESPN registered about a 20% increase in ratings over the first 12 games. The demographics also show that the aged 18 to 49 category up 26%. Those are the folks that buy stuff. And women up 28%. Those are the demographics that the NBA and ESPN want to target. So looks good. The top games, the Heat, Sixers, Bucks, other marquee teams apparently, are generating significant revenue increases as well. Why? Digital, streaming, pent-up post-pandemic demand. And the interesting thing is November is usually a time when the NBA's ratings aren't that great and they grab the center stage around Christmas time. Seems to be earlier this year. Sports Professor Rick Caro, Daily Numbers Game.
Look, we're not saying all the other sports talk networks are backwards, but we're pretty sure they all have a favorite Yeehaw episode.
Get on the grid.
Yeehaw. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Back right here on the early line. I want to talk about the NFC playoff picture at the end here of week 10. Two key teams, really, playing on Monday Night Football when you get the Rams and the Niners for this race. The Rams involved at the top, though currently seeded as a wild card right now. So here's the interesting note, Donnie, about their schedule. They go bye week, at Green Bay, home versus the Jags, at Arizona. It's real easy to me when you look at this team, Donnie. After their next 3 weeks of football, 4 weeks of overall action when you include the bye, either this team is going to be in pole position for the number one seed and maybe be the favorites to win the conference. Heck, they might be favorites to win this Super Bowl if they win those two games at Green Bay and at Arizona. On the other hand, they might be absolutely dead to rights as a wild card team who won't find themselves hosting any playoff football.
It's so great, Kevin. And this is the great thing about the NFL, right? You know, it is a long season technically due to the fact that it takes time, right? You only get played once a week. But look at the prognosis for the Rams that we've had just over the past couple weeks. They beat the Texans 38-22, which, I mean, everybody beats the Texans. They beat the Lions. Everybody beats the Lions, the Giants, the Seahawks when they're banged up. So you're looking at it all the way down, but still you're seeing that pristine record, right? Only one time they got beat. It was by the Cardinals at home. We said they got clobbered in that game, but that's an aberration. Probably not going to happen here. So now you look at them losing to the Titans. Again, the Titans without their best player. You take a look at the 49ers here who are really struggling. They have two straight losses, and you're right. You go play the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau, which maybe if you wanted to play the Green Bay Packers, it was 2 weeks ago when Aaron Rodgers was sitting out with COVID and Jordan Love had to get in the game, and it didn't look all that great at Kansas City. Aaron Rodgers comes back, doesn't play all that well, but still able to beat the Seattle Seahawks easily because their defense is starting to rise up. So now you're going to go say, okay, let's make it 7-4 after this week. 8-5 after the Jaguars, and let's just say the Cardinals are healthy and you take another loss there. No longer is this one of those teams, Kevin, that we're looking at as a deep run to a playoff, you know, in the playoffs and also to a championship, even though the talent is there. But this was one of those teams that we figured at 7-1, what would their worst case scenario be on the season, right? 12-5, 13-4 in a 17-game season, and they were really going to vie for that top overall seed, which is what you need. If you're a West Coast team, you play in a dome. Where do you want to play? On the West Coast in a dome, not come to the East Coast or maybe to the Midwest there and play the Green Bay Packers in some cold temperatures or go down to Tampa Bay where they have home field advantage in that heat and humidity. It's an interesting to watch, but where they go from here, I think you're right. Referendum time here and full panic sets in because if they go to Green Bay and they lose to Aaron Rodgers 29-28, okay, fought them hard to win in Green Bay, but they look much better and you can take that with a grain of salt and move forward. But if they go into this game, Kevin, and they get pounded on and lose by a touchdown or more, we're going to have some major questions about what the Rams actually are here in 2021.
So the interesting thing, and I don't know if I'm necessarily disagreeing, Donnie, but even if they lose the game 29-28 to the Green Bay Packers, it would be a third straight loss, but we'd know they're playing better football. Donnie, if they end up the 5 seed, that's bad. Because then, Donnie, the path to the playoffs is probably at Tampa to open it up. And then if they win the game, they're going to go to Green Bay. And those are two wins that they'd need just to get to a conference championship game, Donnie. The path for the Rams, if they are unable to not only then beat Green Bay, but then they have to beat Arizona. There is no exception to that rule. They absolutely must win at Arizona. This is a very difficult spot for this team, Donnie, that now have put themselves behind the eight ball, losing both these games when you look at the primetime spots in terms of the Titans game and, of course, here, this Niners game. I want to talk about the back of the NFC, but before I do that, let me just quickly ask you, Donnie, any takeaway from the Odell Beckham Jr. debut? You can even pair it with the Von Miller debut. I think at the end of the day, you're looking at a couple of guys that snap count were both sub 50% in the football game. What were you really expecting? If you're taking shots at Odell here on a Tuesday morning, you basically had already decided you were going to do that no matter what happened in this football game.
That it's hard to put a great organizational team together. And the thought process behind that is we thought once they got Von Miller and now get Odell Beckham, it's an embarrassment of riches. They're going to roll them out. Look at their debuts. Oh, my goodness. How can you score on the Rams? And, you know, a reinvigorated Odell Beckham along with Robert Woods on the outside, this team can do damage. You saw Von Miller didn't play all that well last night, but did he have a chance to? You're basically running the football directly at him to try to neutralize his pass rushing ability, and you only had 19 dropbacks here by the San Francisco 49ers. But moving forward, you're hoping this team will gel. Because the one thing I think we can agree on, Kevin, talent for talent, roster for roster, Los Angeles has a very good one. But I'm a little bit worried about the explosive nature of the Rams now. And also, take a look at the usage rate of Cooper Kupp. Now, this is one of the things that coming into the season, Kevin, I know you're big on injuries and injury regression. And the thing I always like to say is just because you sustain some injuries early doesn't mean it's John Madden football and you turn the injuries off, because once you have two wide receiver injuries, you're not allowed to have any more. Can you imagine if Cooper Kupp, which he's been injured in the past, knee injury, calf injury, hamstring strain, where does that offense go if he's not there, Kevin? They might be in serious trouble.
And also, just to add to this point, I have to imagine Stafford's MVP chances are done. back-to-back primetime nightmare games. I don't know how he could possibly sustain that. His name isn't Josh Allen. He can't get his odds shorter for having subpar performances.
So, MVP.
Hard to see Stafford still legitimately in the mix. Donnie, as far as the Niners go, right, in the back end of this NFC playoff picture, I see the Niners right now at a plus 176 price to make the postseason. I look at this schedule here, and I think the next 3 weeks, at Jacksonville, home versus the Vikings, and at Seattle, all winnable. And in fact, Donnie, I look at the back end of the schedule here. I don't know if they have any game that they can't win. I think they've got five games they'll be favored to win in overall. What do you think about the Niners' chances? We'll talk about some of these other teams that are in the mix. But what do you think of the Niners specifically, Donnie, at a plus 176 price to make the postseason?
I think it's very interesting here because we're going to do that in a second. I have a couple teams that I'm buying on in the NFC and a couple teams that I'm selling on in the NFC. And one of those teams that I am buying on, which we're going to talk about right now, is the San Francisco 49ers. And you are correct there. The schedule has a lot to do with it. But also, let's keep in mind, the advantage of making the playoffs now, you have an extra team, which is enormous because usually that cutoff line is, hey, you better be above 500 or you're not even going to have a chance to get in the playoffs. Not the case anymore. If we look at the seventh seed right now is the Carolina Panthers at 5-5. After that, the Minnesota Vikings 4-5, the 49ers 4-5. Now, you take a look at the 49ers. This was a team that we weren't saying like, oh, man, they're lucky to be 4-5. Boy, I didn't see this coming here. No, we didn't see it coming because the 49ers were a better overall football team and quite frankly, the favorites coming in the NFC West in 2021. You get the Jaguars on the road. That should be a victory here. It's going to pump you to 5-5. You get the Vikings at home, which should be a tough game, but you should be able to handle the Vikings in your own building. Now you're 6-5. You go on the road to play the Seahawks, which all intents and purposes, I don't think the Seahawks are really going to be challenging. We'll see if Russell Wilson even snaps back. He looked horrendous in that game against the Green Bay Packers. You play the Bengals on the road, a young team still trying to find their way. Falcons, Titans without their best player, Texans. I am buying on the 49ers here. That performance last night reinvigorated me to say, you know what? Kyle Shanahan, despite of what's going on here, he can still dial up a fantastic game plan to a T and beat a much more talented football team. That bodes well for the future here, at least down the back stretch.
And I think the reason, Donnie, why it's easy to buy in on the Niners is what they did last night feels easier for me to believe than what they did against Arizona the week before. I do like Kyle Shanahan as a head coach. I do think this is still an upper echelon roster in the NFL. And I think this team has a lot of runway in front of them. And speaking, Donnie, of buying and selling here, right? I think you'd like to buy the Niners when their upcoming game is against the Jaguars. Because they win that game, the number can get shorter, right? There are some of these other teams out here who maybe you like a little bit more than the Niners. Is the schedule as easy? Minnesota's got a game against Green Bay. Saints and the Eagles are going to play one another here, Donnie. You mentioned there's some teams that you kind of circled up here, buying and selling. Who else in this NFC postseason picture do you feel like you're buying right now?
Yeah, let's buy three teams here. Just started with the 49ers. I think they're a buy-on team here, and you're right. The Jacksonville Jaguars game, fresh off of this Rams game, that should give them a little bit of a boon here. Now, next up is the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm buying on that. Yes, just a couple weeks ago was selling them short. That was a huge win at Denver, and now you're getting to the softer part of the back schedule, which we looked at the Eagles and say, man, you're not doing a rookie head coach any favors here by going through a buzzsaw of Super Bowl team, Super Bowl contender, followed by Super Bowl contender. Looks like they weathered the storm, and again, the key indicator here is you do have a softer schedule and that added seventh team that gets in the playoffs now in the NFL. Another team I'm buying, how about in the NFC East as well, Kevin? The New York Giants. Yes, the same thing as we talk about the Philadelphia Eagles here of what we like. The Giants are the same. The Giants are going to get healthier. Are they a great football team? No. But the back end of this schedule does include two games with the Eagles. The same way the Eagles are looking at the Giants that they have two games here. If you can steal a couple of those games here and hover around 500, there's a legitimate chance that they can make the playoffs. Some teams that I am selling here. Cam Newton, who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers right now. I think this is their high water mark here. I don't have high, efficiency from them for the rest of the year. Do I like Cam Newton as their quarterback? Yes, better than PJ Walker and Sam Darnold, but I don't think that's going to be enough to get them into the playoffs. Also selling the Falcons. You saw what they did Sunday. I can't even believe, Kevin, that this team is even has four wins at this point with the way they operated. That team is going to fall off here. And also selling on the New Orleans Saints here with Trevor Siemian moving forward. I don't think they can get to the playoffs here unless he plays at a high level. And Kevin, I don't know if he's capable of that. So some buyers and some sellers for me in the NFC here on a Tuesday.
I absolutely love it. I think the one thing maybe, because a lot of what you said, Donnie, I agree with. The one thing maybe I would try and push you on would be Carolina, if only because of the number. Because this team right now is a plus 360 on the yes. Their upcoming game is against the Washington football team. They should get the job done there. We've talked about that upcoming three games. That team should be no worse than 2-1 in their next 3 weeks of action. If they can achieve that, that number gets a little bit shorter. But maybe no team jumps out more than the Niners. Oh, yeah, and the Eagles. They beat the Saints. This gets very, very real here on the early line. Come right back, Hot or Not, around the corner.
The Sports Grid Radio Network presents This Date in Sports History.
Oscar Robertson passes to Wilt Chamberlain, who jams it in.
1962, Wilt Chamberlain, while playing for the San Francisco Warriors, scores 73 points versus the Knicks.
If I go out here tonight and score 39 points, I will have let my team down. I'm 11 points below whatever they expect this from me, and this is what I have to go out there and do.
Chamberlain was a four-time MVP and led the league in scoring seven times. For Sports Grid Radio, I'm Mike Demergis.
We're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year.
Don't believe us?
Never turn us off.
You'll see.
Keep listening to Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Back right here for some Hot or Not. I'll let you know in terms of those NFC behind or sells as well. We'll dive a little bit more into those concepts when we get to the early lines that we're going to give you here in hour number two, because the upcoming games are going to factor in a lot for those awards, right? The Vikings host the Green Bay Packers. The Saints play the Eagles this week in Philadelphia, even Seattle. If you want to take a deep shot on a Russell Wilson, home this week against the Arizona Cardinals. So we'll get more to that in hour number two, certainly for you. But also today, I wanted to make sure that we talk, Donnie, the state of college football here. At some point, we'll talk about the statement that Cincinnati made. You did a great job breaking that down yesterday for the people. And listen up here. But, of course, today, a new addition for the committee. Now, last week, obviously, I made the point. Donnie taught me, finally, it doesn't matter. I don't care, although that is not true, and he knows I'll be watching this like appointment viewing and still reacting and getting in my feelings about Notre Dame, probably still like being behind in Oklahoma or whatever they want to do here. But speaking of Oklahoma, Donnie, they, of course, lost to Baylor. They will be moving down this week in the rankings. You would imagine so. The question I have for you here to open up Hot or Not, the Big 12 can still make the college football playoff.
I'm going to go hot on this one here because there are a lot of teams stacked up in that top 10. Now, we have an undefeated Georgia team in the top 10, right, number one overall. And then wherever you want to put, let's just say the Cincinnati Bearcats, somewhere in the top six, top five. So the rest of those teams all have one loss. A lot of these teams that have one loss, Kevin, are going to be playing each other, which means people are going to end up with two losses, particularly Alabama's of the world, Ohio State's of the world, you know, Michigan's, Michigan State's, teams like that that are going to go head-to-head over the final couple weeks here. So normally you would say the Big 12's best shot was an undefeated Oklahoma team, which I agree with. If they would have been able to run the table, they certainly would have been in the college football playoff. We're not going to lead out a Power 5 conference and have a couple signature wins to end the season and have them on the outside looking into a one-loss team from another conference. But having said that now, Oklahoma State is probably the best chance for them to make it. And the reason I say that is it's when you lost and how you lost. We just saw Oklahoma, you know, get pounded by Baylor on national TV. Baylor played really well. Now, the good part about that Baylor playing well is that you still have some time here if you're going to look at Oklahoma State. They still have to win their Bedlam game against Oklahoma, which that'll be a big-time win because the Oklahoma Sooners are still ranked decently high and still on the national landscape. Also, keep in mind, when they get to the Big 12 championship game, they already beat Baylor, but now they could come back for a second helping and say, hey, that's two top 20 teams, even though it's one team that we beat during the season. And also having that loss for the Oklahoma State Cowboys come a lot earlier in the season than later in the season, I think will help them. There's a lot to figure out here. One of those teams, Kevin, that we actually got right to start the season was the win total over for the Oklahoma State Cowboys, doing it much more defensively than offensively. But this team is hitting their stride. They beat, as I said, Oklahoma in Bedlam and also then win the Big 12 championship game. They only need a few things to happen on the national landscape, and they could find themselves in the college football playoff.
So, and I love talking Oklahoma State football, obviously, because of that win total actively working out. Come on, Duke. People still believe in you, don't they? No, they don't. Nah. Now, you look, Donnie, the odds for the national title have OU still in front of Oklahoma State. But boy, did that gap close. 40-1 for the Sooners, 60-1 for the Cowboys. I think the interesting thing, and the reason why this still feels hot, is there is a world for Oklahoma to still get in, Donnie, I think just by winning out, right? Beating Oklahoma State, and potentially if they could get Baylor in a rematch in a Big 12 title game and then avenge their lone loss, I think that would be monstrous for them. The Oklahoma State path, though, is really, do they control their own destiny? And this is a concept, Donnie, that is not new to the college football playoff landscape, but almost this season feels entirely irrelevant. Georgia controls their own destiny. Bama controls their own destiny. Ohio State controls their own destiny. And that feels like that's where that stops. I don't think that anybody else in the country, Cincinnati, Oregon, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, I'm not even sure Michigan in some ways, Donnie, controls their own destiny. They probably do, but that's where I'm trying to figure out here for the Cowboys, Donnie, is if that team wins out, are we positive that they will then be one of the final four teams?
No, we are not positive, and that's why you have to take a little bit of a leap of faith here and play some devil's advocate, because if we look at the SEC championship game, right, Georgia's going to be favored over Alabama, and rightfully so. That'll give them two losses. Cincinnati is probably going to finish the season undefeated, but it's almost as if they're being equated to a one-loss team, and that's how they're going to be factored in. Oregon's still on the West Coast. If they run the table, they're probably going to get in. Why? Because they have that signature win over Ohio State. And regardless of how much better Ohio State is playing now than earlier in the season, they're going to get that trump card. But Ohio State still has Michigan State and Michigan on deck. Like, as much as I love Ohio State, that is tough. And if they lost one of those games, you wouldn't be shocked, right? So, I mean, stepping up in that field and saying, okay, if they win those both, that's look at this. They're going to be in no matter what. But if they have a loss here, that's going to set off a scale. Same thing with Michigan. Still has to go through Ohio State. You could see Ohio State get beat this weekend, then beat Michigan. And now you're looking at saying, like, whoa, if Oklahoma State runs the table, now maybe they do control their own destiny.
And I think, Donnie, as we've gotten closer and closer to the final weeks of this season, yes, no one has ever made it in with two losses. But also, every single year, Clemson is in here unbeaten, and there's not as much wiggle room, right, when it comes to opening spots. Now, I still think a two-loss Bama is going to struggle because, again, their second loss would be coming in their final game of the season. But there is a lot of stuff very, very open right now as it pertains to the college football landscape. And that also includes the Heisman Award, Donnie, talking about Ohio State and Alabama. It is those two quarterbacks that are 1-2 in the odds, but a shift over this last weekend of action. Bryce Young throws 5 touchdown passes and only 2 incompletions in the opening half. But they played New Mexico State. Well, Purdue ended up facing C.J. Stroud and the Buckeyes, and I think they're still giving up touchdowns there. Stroud's 5 touchdown performance and over 300 yards passing against that Purdue defense held enough water, Donnie, to move him to the favorite at plus 150. Hot or not, Stroud should be the Heisman favorite.
I mean, technically, I'm going to say not on this one, but I'm going to lay out a plan, which is why he's going to win it, you know, with the remaining games. But if you're asking me today and I say who should be the Heisman favorite, it's a shame it's a quarterback award. Kenneth Walker III from Michigan State is the reason why they are even being talked about here and a top 10 football team. If you take Kenneth Walker III off of that team, I'm not so sure how many wins they actually pick up, because when you watch them on TV, you hand them the football and you say, Let's enjoy the rest of the day because he's going to go way over 100 yards and keep us involved in this game. Almost get that feeling of back with Florida State, Jimbo Fisher, and Dalvin Cook. The team was so-so around them, but you just got the ball in the Dalvin Cook's hand. Like, whoa, Florida State's a really good football team here. Now, take a look at C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young here, the two leaders in the clubhouse right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook. C.J. Stroud plus 150, Bryce Young at plus 200. Here's the reason why, Kevin, I think C.J. Stroud is going to be the favorite here. I think Ohio State, outside of that Oregon loss, they are the best team here outside of Georgia. I even think they're better than Alabama. They're going to have two big-time football games coming up against Michigan, which I think he can have some success with, and also Michigan State, the same thing. The reason why I don't think Bryce Young can win it, Kevin, because last impressions mean a lot here to the voters. A lot of these voters are going to hold on to the very last week where we see the Big Ten championship game and we see the SEC championship game. If Bryce Young goes out and throws for 350 yards, three touchdowns, and Alabama beats Georgia, there's nothing C.J. Stroud can do to win the Heisman Award. It's going to be given to Bryce Young. But as we say that, he's playing Georgia. He has to throw for a lot of yards. They have to win that game, and I'm not so sure they can do that. So then you focus on Bryce Young and say, what does he have to do? Just win football games. If he just plays well and wins football games and they make it into the college football playoff by winning the Big Ten championship, Kevin, and CJ, and also Bryce Young struggles a little bit in the last game in the SEC championship game, that's the pathway to victory. I think it's valid that he's a plus 150. In my book, if I was making odds or if I was running college football, Kenneth Walker would get a lot more respect. But it's a quarterback award, and we just have to understand that in this day and age.
I think so. You are, I feel like, Donnie, accurately looking at the three. The only other player that's sub 40-1 is Corral. Ole Miss just doesn't have enough juice to keep him, it feels like, in this award. The problem for Kenneth Walker is they're going to play Ohio State this week in Columbus. They're nearly three touchdown dogs. Feels like an eliminator game of sorts. And the reason why it's hot for Stroud to be the Heisman favorite is they're going to be favorites in the remainder of their games, unlike Bryce Young and Alabama, who will not be favored against Georgia. But I really think, Donnie, where this gets very fascinating to me is if you look at the national championship odds, Georgia is still, of course, your favorite. Ohio State has jumped Bama now by a clear dollar, plus 350 on the Buckeyes, and the Crimson Tide are plus 450. And Donnie, when we look now to these two teams and what they're going to have on their upcoming schedules here, it really jumped off of the page to me. Because Ohio State is playing Michigan State, who will be inside the top 10, no questions asked, this upcoming week here in the rankings, right? And Alabama is going to play Arkansas, which is fine. Nowhere near a top 10 team in the country, coming off of a three-point victory at LSU. I guess, Donnie, the point spreads are basically the same. I think, Donnie, we're seeing a legitimate shift here into what you said, that Ohio State is being viewed clearly as the second best team in this country in front of an Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah, and that's what it's going to come down to here, because you need some big-time wins against opponents, and how it factors out here is you're right. Doesn't it all boil down to who you're going to play in late? If we're taking a look at the favorites here, Ohio State is going to be the favorites to win out here for the rest of their games. And it's so simple, Kevin, as Alabama is not going to be there. And maybe if Alabama didn't lose to Texas A&M, they were unbeaten, they would probably be the number one team overall or fighting with Georgia neck and neck to be that. So it almost wouldn't even matter in the committee's eye, which you're voting for Heisman, if he went out and lost a hard-fought game to Georgia. Man, they had a great season. Just ran up against Georgia. He played decent. We're going to give him the trophy. But it feels like, you know, this is still an award that says best player on the best team a lot of times. I don't think you can give that to him here if Alabama has two losses and doesn't make the playoff, because if voters actually voted at the end of the true regular season, this might be completely different. But the fact that they vote after the championship games, Kevin, the people that are holding their votes, they're going to put much more weight in the final game than what they're putting in any of the other games throughout the season.
Which also then I wanted to kind of tie back to the Heisman conversation is there are going to be three separate markets, actually four separate markets, to try and find a way to get your best price on Bama beating Georgia. There, of course, is going to be the odds to win the SEC, which they keep reposting. There will be Bryce Young's odds to win the Heisman. There's going to just be the actual make the playoff odds. And then whenever they're going to post the money line at for that football game. But they all feel the same. They have to beat Georgia to get in. Obviously, that would mean they win the SEC title game. That means they win the game. And here's the thing about C.J. Stroud. Again, control your own destiny. If Bryce Young goes out there and dominates Bama, which nobody obviously has even played well against that defense, that's his award. That's coming to Tuscaloosa. We'll see if he's able to do it. There's one more college football line we have to bring up, and it ties, of course, into the college football. We close out hour one.
Game time decisions.
Pittsburgh couldn't even beat Detroit. Pittsburgh are not winning that division. Cleveland are Cleveland, man. The Cincinnati Bengals are the Cincinnati Bengals. This is an early holiday gift for you. Hey, if you've got a wife, take her on vacation by taking the Baltimore Ravens to win a division. If you're single, take yourself to Vegas. Hey, go to Vegas.
It's Game Time Decisions with Gabe Morenci and Cam Stewart. Weekdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. On the home of the Winning Edge, the Sports Grid Radio Network. You were born with it. It's always been there. It's been the basis of many, many friendships and connection with people who just
know and think like you do.
It's made life fun. Welcome home
to the Winning Edge.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Closing out hour number one right here on Sports Grid. This is the early line, and Donnie, an early line in college football before we, of course, give people the early line looks for week 11 in the NFL. And this is, I think, I don't want to say it's the most important game, but if a lot of the spreads act accordingly, it will be. And that is the Pac-12 showdown between Utah and Oregon, because the Ducks are on the road and the Ducks are dogs, Donnie. And I don't see any path for this team to lose this football game and still make the college football playoff.
Yeah, I think you're correct on this one. But doesn't this have the feel of, now hold on here, number three is going on the road. They know all they have to do is keep winning. You don't have to even, there's really any style points here for Oregon. They just have to go on the road and beat Utah, whether it's 21-20, 20-19, 20, it doesn't matter. There are no style points here. So I look at that number that opened up here at the FanDuel Sportsbook at 3.5, and has dropped to 2.5 at a -128. This is one where you scratch your head. And is it one, Kevin, that you outsmart yourself with? Oregon, to me, is the better team. But as we've said time and time again, they don't just pick spreads out of a hat and tell you, here's what we're going to give you today. There is a reason for that number. So should we be buying into the Utah Utes with the upset? And for me, with a small ticket here on the Cincinnati Bearcats, I am buying into the upset, Kevin. Let's go Utes.
Now, listen, don't you worry. The Walsh household will also be cheering on Utah. Let's get Notre Dame back squarely in the mix. The one thing is, Utah being favored isn't surprising. Nobody believes in Oregon. Nobody. Not the people in Columbus, and I'm not even sure the people actually in Oregon. The Ducks are terrible against the number, except for as a dog. Twice this year they've been a dog. They've won both of those football games here. This is basically everything here for Oregon. But if they win that game, and we'll see where the make-miss college football playoff odds check in after tonight. I think the Ducks might have themselves a clear pathway. What a big one, of course, coming up in college football. Up next year, the early lines. The early lines.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.